Chapter 75. All were silent. The leader, running forward, did as before. I dreamed, apostrophe he cried, that, being in great trouble, an old man helped me who was a manito. We shall soon see his lodge. Apostrophe apostrophe taking courage, they still went on. After going a short distance they saw the lodge of the old manito. They entered immediately, and claimed his protection, telling him a manito was after them. The old man, setting meat before them, said, eat, who is a manito? There is no manito but me, there is none whom I fear, apostrophe and the earth trembled as the monster advanced. The old man opened the door, and saw him coming. He shut it slowly, and said, yes, my grandchildren, you have brought trouble upon me. Apostrophe apostrophe procuring his medicine sack, he took out his small war clubs of black stone, and told the young men to run through the other side of the lodge. As he handled the clubs, they became very large, and the old man stepped out just as the bear reached the door. Then striking him with one of the clubs, it broke in pieces, the bear stumbled. Renewing the attempt with the other war club, that also was broken, but the bear fell senseless. Each blow the old man gave him sounded like a clap of thunder, and the howls of the bear ran along till they filled the heavens. The young men had now run some distance, when they looked back. They could see that the bear was recovering from the blows. First he moved his paws, and soon they saw him rise on his feet. The old man shared the fate of the first, for they now heard his cries as he was torn in pieces. Again the monster was in pursuit, and fast overtaking them. Not yet discouraged, the young men kept on their way, but the bear was now so close, that the leader once more applied to his brothers, but they could do nothing. Well, apostrophe said he, my dreams will soon be exhausted. After this I have but one more. Apostrophe apostrophe he advanced, invoking his guardian spirit to aid him. Once, apostrophe said he, I dreamed that, being sorely pressed, I came to a large lake, on the shore of which was a canoe, partly out of water, having 10 paddles all in readiness. Do not fear, apostrophe he cried, we shall soon get it. Apostrophe apostrophe and so it was, even as he had said. Coming to the lake, they saw the canoe with 10 paddles, and immediately they embarked. Scarcely had they reached the center of the lake, when they saw the bear arrive at its borders. Lifting himself on his hind legs, he looked all around. Then he waded into the water, then losing his footing he turned back, and commenced making the circuit of the lake. Meantime the party remained stationary in the center to watch his movements. He traveled all around, till at last he came to the place from whence he started. Then he commenced drinking up the water, and they saw the current fast setting in towards his open mouth. The leader encouraged them to paddle hard for the opposite shore. When only a short distance from land, the current had increased so much, that they were drawn back by it, and all their efforts to reach it were in vain. Then the leader again spoke, telling them to meet their fates manfully. Now is the time, Magiculus, apostrophe said he, to show your prowess. Take courage and sit at the bow of the canoe, and when it approaches his mouth, try what effect your club will have on his head. Apostrophe apostrophe he obeyed, and stood ready to give the blow, while the leader, who steered, directed the canoe for the open mouth of the monster. Rapidly advancing, they were just about to enter his mouth, when Magiculus struck him a tremendous blow on the head, and gave the saw-saw-quan. The bear's limbs doubled under him, and he fell, stunned by the blow. But before Magiculus could renew it, the monster disgorged all the water he had drank, with a force which sent the canoe with great velocity to the opposite shore. Instantly leaving the canoe, again they fled, and on they went till they were completely exhausted. The earth again shook, and soon they saw the monster hard after them. Their spirits drooped, and they felt discouraged. The leader exerted himself, by actions and words, to cheer them up, and once more he asked them if they thought of nothing, or could do nothing for their rescue, and, as before, all were silent. Then, apostrophe he said, This is the last time I can apply to my guardian spirit. Now, if we do not succeed, our fates are decided. He ran forward, invoking his spirit with great earnestness, and gave the yell. We shall soon arrive, said he to his brothers, at the place where my last guardian spirit dwells. And in my place great confidence. Do not be afraid, or your limbs will be fear-bound. We shall soon reach his lodge. Run, he cried. Returning now to Iamo, he had passed all the time in the same condition we had left him, the head directing his sister, in order to procure food, where to place the magic arrows, and speaking at long intervals. One day the sister saw the eyes of the head brighten, as if with pleasure. At last it spoke. Oh, sister, it said, in what a pitiful situation you have been the cause of placing me. Soon, very soon, a party of young men will arrive and apply to me for aid. But alas! How can I give what I would have done with so much pleasure? Nevertheless, take two arrows, and place them where you have been in the habit of placing the others, and have meat prepared and cooked before they arrive. When you hear them coming and calling on my name, go out and say, alas, it is long ago that an accident befell him. I was the cause of it. If they still come near, ask them in, and set meat before them. And now you must follow my directions strictly. When the bear is near, go out and meet him. You will take my medicine sack, bows and arrows, and my head. You must then untie the sack, and spread out before you my paints of all colors, my war eagle feathers, my tufts of dried hair, and whatever else it contains. As the bear approaches, you will take all these articles, one by one, and say to him, this is my deceased brother's paint, and so on with all the other articles, throwing each of them as far as you can. The virtues contained in them will cause him to totter, and, to complete his destruction, you will take my head, and that too you will cast as far off as you can, crying aloud, see, this is my deceased brother's head. He will then fall senseless. By this time the young men will have eaten, and you will call them to your assistance. You must then cut the carcass in two pieces, yes, in two small pieces, and scatter them to the four winds. For, unless you do this, he will again revive. She promised that all should be done as he said. As he had only time to prepare the meat, when the voice of the leader was heard calling upon Iamo for aid. The woman went out and said as her brother had directed. But the war party being closely pursued, came up to the lodge. She invited them in, and placed the meat before them. While they were eating, they heard the bear approaching. Untying the medicine sack and taking the head, as he had all in readiness for his approach. When he came up she did as he had been told, and, before as he had expended the paints and feathers, the bear began to totter, but, still advancing, came close to the woman. Saying as she was commanded, she then took the head, and cast it as far from her as she could. As it rolled along the ground, the blood, excited by the feelings of the head in this terrible scene, gushed from the nose and mouth. The bear, tottering, soon fell with a tremendous noise. Then she cried for help, and the young men came rushing out, having partially regained their strength and spirits. Magiculus, stepping up, gave a yell, and struck him a blow upon the head. This he repeated, till it seemed like a mass of brains, while the others, as quick as possible, cut him in two very small pieces, which they then scattered in every direction. While thus employed, happening to look around where they had thrown the meat, wonderful to behold, they saw starting up and turning off in every direction small black bears, such as are seen at the present day. The country was soon overspread with these black animals. And it was from this monster that the present race of bears derived their origin. Having thus overcome their pursuer, they returned to the lodge. In the meantime, the woman, gathering the implements as he had used, and the head, placed them again in the sack. But the head did not speak again, probably from its great exertion to overcome the monster. Having spent so much time and traversed so vast a country in their flight, the young men gave up the idea of ever returning to their own country, and game being plenty, they determined to remain where they now were. One day they moved off some distance from the lodge for the purpose of hunting, having left the wampum with the woman. They were very successful, and amused themselves, as all young men do when alone, by talking and jesting with each other. One of them spoke and said, "We have all this sport to ourselves. Let us go and ask our sister, if she will not let us bring the head to this place, as it is still alive. It may be pleased to hear us talk, and be in our company. In the meantime take food to our sister." They went and requested the head. She told them to take it, and they took it to their hunting grounds, and tried to amuse it, but only at times did they see its eyes beam with pleasure. One day, while busy in their encampment, they were unexpectedly attacked by unknown Indians. The skirmish was long contested and bloody. Many of their foes were slain, but still they were 30-1. The young men fought desperately till they were all killed. The attacking party then retreated to a height of ground, to muster their men, and to count the number of missing and slain. One of their young men had stayed away, and, in endeavoring to overtake them, came to the place where the head was hung up. Seeing that alone retain animation, he eyed it for some time with fear and surprise. However, he took it down, and opened the sack, and was much pleased to see the beautiful feathers, one of which he placed on his head. Starting off, it waved gracefully over him till he reached his party, when he threw down the head and sack, and told them how he had found it, and that the sack was full of paints and feathers. They all looked at the head and made sport of it. Numbers of the young men took the paint and painted themselves, and one of the party took the head by the hair and said, "Look, you ugly thing, and see your paints on the faces of warriors." But the feathers were so beautiful that numbers of them also placed them on their heads. Then again they used all kinds of indignity to the head, for which they were in turn repaid by the death of those who had used the feathers. Then the chief commanded them to throw away all except the head. "We will see," said he, "when we get home, what we can do with it. We will try to make it shut its eyes." When they reached their homes they took it to the council lodge, and hung it up before the fire, fastening it with raw hide soaked, which would shrink and become tightened by the action of the fire. "We will then see," they said, "if we cannot make it shut its eyes." Meantime, for several days, the sister had been waiting for the young men to bring back the head, till, at last, getting impatient, she went in search of it. The young men she found lying within short distances of each other, dead, and covered with wounds. Various other bodies lay scattered in different directions around them. She searched for the head and sack, but they were nowhere to be found. She raised her voice and wept, and blackened her face. Then she walked in different directions, till she came to the place from whence the head had been taken. Then she found the magic bow and arrows, where the young men, ignorant of their qualities, had left them. She thought to herself that she would find her brother's head, and came to a piece of rising ground, and there saw some of his paints and feathers. These she carefully put up, and hung upon the branch of a tree till her return. At dusk she arrived at the first lodge of a very extensive village. Here she used a charm, common among Indians when they wish to meet with a kind reception. On applying to the old man and woman of the lodge, she was kindly received. She made known her errand. The old man promised to aid her, and told her the head was hung up before the council fire, and that the chiefs of the village, with their young men, kept watch over it continually. The former are considered as manitos. She said she only wished to see it, and would be satisfied, if she could only get to the door of the lodge. She knew as he had not sufficient power to take it by force. "Come with me," said the Indian, "I will take you there." They went, and they took their seats near the door. The council lodge was filled with warriors, amusing themselves with games, and constantly keeping up a fire to smoke the head, as they said, to make dry meat. They saw the head move, and not knowing what to make of it, one spoke and said, "Ha, ha! It is beginning to feel the effects of the smoke." Apostrophe The sister looked up from the door, and her eyes met those of her brother, and tears rolled down the cheeks of the head. "Well, apostrophe," said the chief, "I thought we would make you do something at last. Look. Look at it shedding tears," apostrophe said he to those around him, and they all laughed, and passed their jokes upon it. The chief, looking around, and observing the woman, after some time said to the man who came with her, "Who have you got there? I have never seen that woman before in our village." "Apostrophe, replied the man, "you have seen her. She is a relation of mine, and seldom goes out. She stays at my lodge, and asked me to allow her to come with me to this place." "Apostrophe, in the center of the lodge sat one of those young men who are always forward, and fond of boasting and displaying themselves before others. "Why, apostrophe," said he, "I have seen her often, and it is to this lodge I go almost every night to court her." "Apostrophe, all the others laughed, and continued their games. The young man did not know he was telling a lie to the woman's advantage, who by that means escaped. She returned to the man's lodge, and immediately set out for her own country. Coming to the spot where the bodies of her adopted brothers lay, she placed them together, their feet toward the east. Then taking an axe which she had, she cast it up into the air, crying out, "Brothers, get up from under it, or it will fall on you." "Apostrophe, this," she repeated three times, and the third time the brothers all arose and stood on their feet. Magiculus commenced rubbing his eyes and stretching himself. "Why, apostrophe," said he, "I have overslept myself." "Apostrophe, no, indeed, apostrophe," said one of the others, "do you not know we were all killed, and that it is our sister who has brought us to life?" "Apostrophe, the young men took the bodies of their enemies and burned them. Soon after, the woman went to procure wives for them, in a distant country, they knew not where. But she returned with 10 young women, which she gave to the 10 young men, beginning with the eldest. Magiculus stepped to and fro, uneasy lest he should not get the one he liked. But he was not disappointed, for she fell to his lot. And they were well matched, for she was a female magician. They then all moved into a very large lodge, and their sister told them that the women must now take turns in going to her brother's head every night, trying to untie it. They all said they would do so with pleasure. The eldest made the first attempt, and with a rushing noise she fled through the air. Toward daylight she returned. She had been unsuccessful, as she succeeded in untying only one of the knots. All took their turns regularly, and each one succeeded in untying only one knot each time. But when the youngest went, she commenced the work. As soon as she reached the lodge, although it had always been occupied, still the Indians never could see anyone. For 10 nights now, the smoke had not ascended, but filled the lodge, and drove them out. This last night they were all driven out, and the young woman carried off the head. The young people and the sister heard the young woman coming high through the air, and they heard her saying, "Prepare the body of our brother." Apostrophe, and as soon as they heard it, they went to a small lodge, where the black body of Iamo lay. His sister commenced cutting the neck part, from which the neck had been severed. She cut so deep, as to cause it to bleed, and the others who were present, by rubbing the body and applying medicines, expelled the blackness. In the meantime, the one who brought it, by cutting the neck of the head, caused it also to bleed. As soon as she arrived, they placed that close to the body, and, by aid of medicines and various other means, succeeded in restoring Iamo to all his former beauty and manliness. All rejoiced in the happy termination of their troubles, and they had spent some time joyfully together, when Iamo said, Now I will divide the wampum, apostrophe and getting the belt which contained it. He commenced with the eldest, giving it in equal portions. But the youngest got the most splendid and beautiful, as the bottom of the belt held the richest and rarest. They were told that, since they had all once died, and were restored to life, they were no longer mortal, but spirits. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.